This is a tale in the general recounting of the adventures of Sir Bondage Grey. Sir Bondage and the Amazons. It was in the year of our Lord, 1381, that Sir Bondage Grey left his family seat in Middlesex to find his fortune in the world. He had just duly taken a first at Oxford, to the disappointment of his family in anthropology rather than in classics on his way to a career in the law or the military. But the young man, the first son of the Baron of Clapham, was never a follower. He decided to leave the baronetcy to his younger brother and set off in search of an adventure in the Greek islands. Young, handsome and friendly, his popularity was assured. He did not even have to call on his father's connections to pave his way into his first expedition to Asia Minor, only 3 weeks after leaving England. Unfortunately, they sailed right into the thick of a war between the last known remnant of the Amazon tribe and the Greeks. The battle did not go well for the Europeans, and they were too soon routed by the amazingly resilient band of women. Most of the men were summarily executed with javelins and arrows to the heart. These women had no use for men who could not fight. They would not make good mates, and the tribe had enough slaves for the moment. Sir Bondage found himself in the last group of men slated to be dispensed to their maker for eternity, and he chose to spare a thought for his father and brothers and all his ancestors, decent Englishmen. He decided that he would show no fear. He would sooner beg St. Peter for entry at the pearly gates than these heathen savage women to spare his life. He would not have to be dragged, screaming to his death like his Greek counterparts. It was beneath him as an Englishman. So he marched to stand at the execution tree, waiting to be strung up like a piece of meat. His back was straight, his head high, his eyes meeting the women fearlessly. Of course, this caused a stir. The Amazons had never seen someone go to his death with such composure. He was either an insane fool or someone of unparalleled bravery. They decided to reserve the most brutal of executions for him, to send him to glory in the raging chariot that a soldier of his standing deserved. It would be the highest honor that they could give him. So they dragged him away from the tree and piled the bodies of his companions under it and packed logs around it, preparing to make a funeral pyre on which Sir Bondage and his companions would be offered up as a sacrifice. Bondage couldn't believe this. There would be no way that he would be able to hold his tongue as the fires raged around him. He was going to squeal like a pig. He decided that death had to come sooner rather than later, and so he grabbed at the sword of one of the women and wrestled with her for it when it stuck in her scabbard unbudgingly. It was an uneven fight. She was so much larger than he, and her sisters were around to help her. Not that she needed it. She could have broken his back in one fell swoop. But, for some reason, she didn't. Lise stopped her sisters before they killed the young man. His delicate features and straight back spoke of someone who would have an interest, who would make an interesting slave mate for her this year, different from the men she had taken before. Of course, she would kill him after their union, but she decided to let him live for a few days more, and ordered her sisters to bind him securely and take him to her house because she had use for him. It had been weeks since he had been brought to the kingdom where these women lived. he had been taken to see their queen, a woman named Hippolyta, and tales of his bravery recounted for her. She looked at Sir Bondage with favor, and a hint of lust in her eye. She asked Lys for the honor of the first use of her slave, and this was granted. So, this is how Sir Bondage found himself bound and naked, spread eagle on the bed of a queen. The woman sucked and teased his cock and balls to painful distraction before she rose up mightily before him and impaled herself on his meaty spear. She bore down on him repeatedly, grinding her tight, warm pussy on his groin, knocking the breath out of his chest, but at the same time drawing the cum from his balls as she squeezed only enough to make him know that he was in the thrall of a real woman for the first time in his life. Her great thighs jiggled above him, and he thought them, and the sight of her massive bouncing breasts, the most erotic sight that he had ever seen. This was a revelation to him, since he had always gone with the slightly plump girls whom his father hired, or with the svelte girls in his own family, some distant cousins who would have been regarded as being loose women if anyone had ever found out about their liaison with Sir Bondage and his brothers. He had never been with someone so large, both literally and figuratively, and he found himself reevaluating his preferences rapidly. Sir Bondage couldn't help himself when his orgasm befell him. He called out the name of every woman he had ever known. This woman was as good as all of them combined. He hoped that he had delivered to her womb the daughter that she craved, because he felt that she should be rewarded in some way for her services to him. He and the queen made love all night, and he fucked her ass, her mouth, and her cunt until he felt sore. Lys came to reclaim him early the next morning. Her face was set like a thundercloud, as if angry with him. She would not look at him, and it frightened the young man. He noticed the whispering around him as he was led to Lys's house at the far end of the square. "Did you enjoy being with Hippolyta, slave?" she asked angrily. Sir Bondage did not know what to say to this. He had enjoyed himself very much, but he did not like the nasty look that she gave him as she asked. He saw how she sharpened her sword as she spoke with him, and he wondered if the queen would be able to save him from her sister if it came to a catfight. Then it occurred to him what Lys's problem was. She was jealous. In the fogs of his four orgasms the night before, he vaguely remembered that he and the queen had almost literally shouted at all the Greek gods. The sounds of their lust had disturbed the night air, and for the first time he remembered that they had been in the middle of a crowded city and that all else had been quiet. Sir Bondage blushed at the realization of what must have happened. All the women in the town had listened quietly as he and the queen had proclaimed their lovemaking to the world. Lys must have been in torture, knowing that this instrument that the queen played so well was really hers, and not being sure that she would have been able to reclaim it must have been unbearable. He looked at Lys indulgently. His eyes wandered to her lips, and he licked his. He saw her mouth fall open slightly, and it delighted him when she licked her lips in return, unconsciously. He stepped closer to her and saw her nostrils flare. She wanted him badly. She would not harm him before she fucked him senseless. The knowledge of this gave him courage. He regarded himself as being skilled in the ways of women, and the night before with the queen had taught him that these women were in essence no different from any others. His only problem was that Hippolyta had drained him dry. He did not think that he would need anything today, but it was clear that Lys would not be denied. So Bondage decided to go on the offensive. He decided to try to dominate this woman, for he remembered that they responded well to impossible acts of bravery. He reached for her breastplate and tried to remove it to expose her huge breasts. Even under the breastplate, he could see that she was larger than the queen had been, and the thought of this and of himself nursing on her great udders made his mouth water. Lys watched him suspiciously, but understood enough Greek swear words that he used when he could not unveil her treasures to know what he wanted. She had just decided to help him when they heard a commotion outside. Ignoring it, she turned her back on Sir Bondage and bent over to unbuckle her sandals. Unwittingly, she presented Sir Bondage with the sight of her round buttocks trapped under the soft cloth of her tunic. His cock stirred, and in gratitude to Zeus for this, he found himself slapping her buttocks, reveling in their jiggling under his hand. Lys jumped at the first swat, and looked surprised at Sir Bondage. But he had managed to get a second blow in before she could turn around. Bondage looked her directly in the eyes and ordered her to resume her position. Lys bent over slowly, as if she could not believe what she was doing. Bondage upped the ante and lifted her tunic to reveal her massive haunches to his gaze. Her deep cleft called to him, and he found himself slipping a finger between her twin globes. The woman grunted and squirmed. It was obvious that she had never been breached like this before. It was clear that she was wondering if this was what he had done with Hippolyta the night before. Then her face set up again, and Sir Bondage knew that the memory of how angry she had been seized her, and she thrust up just as he brought his hand down in the sharpest slap yet to tell her to keep quiet and not squirm so much, as it was becoming distracting. Lys let out a cry just as a call to arms sounded in the square. Against her training, he saw her hesitate and look at him regretfully. He reached for her and surprised her yet again, planting a lingering kiss on her lips, his tongue gaining entry to her mouth when she opened up in amazement. The promise between them was unspoken, but clearly understood. They would resume where they had left off when she returned to him. It was 2 weeks before she returned, and Sir Bondage lay naked in the bed, thinking about the large woman. He imagined her naked body on top of him, her dribbling pussy grinding unmercifully on his hard dick. The man moaned with the pain and longing that he felt. And, as if the elements called to the woman, she appeared at the mouth of his hut. She looked at his stout cock and licked her lips, causing Sir Bondage to feel his balls roil in desperation. He knew that if she touched him, he would come, and he did not want to appear weak before this comely Amazon. She ran to him, a cry erupting unbidden from her throat. It was clear that she had thought about her spanking while she was away, since Sir Bondage saw that she glanced at his hand several times in the few minutes since she returned. Lise removed her breastplate quickly and offered him her breasts. Bondage saw two of the most magnificent orbs that he had ever seen on a woman. As with everything about her, they were big and firm, and he longed to touch her. He knew better than to initiate the contact, though, since he could only speculate about her mood from her initial entry into the room. But he let the turgid cock straining toward her speak for him. Lee stared at his prone body, and Bondage felt her domination of him immediately. Never before had he felt this way, but it had been so long since he had tasted any of the maids in his father's household, and this female was so much more than any of these women. Indeed, she was more than her queen, standing a full 6 inches taller and about 40 pounds heavier. Lee stripped herself completely naked, and Bondage had to look away and bite his own lip, drawing blood, in order to stop himself from spending. She strode to where he was lying and climbed on top of him, pinning his arms down, her massive weight crushing him into the bedding. She held his hands captive above his head and covered his face, neck and chest with little love bites and kisses. Bondage groaned with each bite, and his cock lengthened and thickened impossibly. He was in genuine pain and could only wonder at his own self-control. The young man felt helpless under the large woman. His cock was trapped between their bodies, his legs spread lewdly in order to accommodate her girth. Then suddenly, the thought of what he must look like caused his first orgasm. He couldn't help it. He groaned and felt the molten cum explode from his body. He didn't care if she killed him. He was in ecstasy. He wondered what she would do to him, though. He was at her mercy. He couldn't stop her from hurting him. He didn't know if he wanted to. Lise wiggled down his body. His cock felt each undulation of her body, and he cried out, using expletives in Greek, Latin, and English to express how good it felt. She crawled down as far as his groin and buried her face there, devouring his cock and sucking it to the back of her throat. Bondage screamed and let go of his seed yet again, and again almost immediately for the third time, when the large woman hoisted his groin toward her face with her large hands and inserted a finger into his asshole and wiggled it around. So Bondage began to cry. He actually did not want any more orgasms at that point, and he wondered fleetingly if this was a new form of execution. He was overwhelmed and feared a heart attack if the woman persisted in wringing these explosions from his body. "Please," he begged in flawless Greek when he saw her getting ready to mount him. His hand covered his flaccid manhood, but Lise would have none of it. She prized his hand away, and teasing him back to a reluctant stand, she impaled herself on him. She rode him hard. A good thing, since he was not able to give her a ride voluntarily. And he came, screaming, for a fourth time in the hour, just before he fainted. So Bondage awakened the next morning to find himself cuddled against the large woman. His back was pressed against her massive melons, and her hand was slung over him, covering his cock and balls protectively. Instinctively, he knew that he would not be killed. He decided that tonight he would begin her training as his prize girl. Her huge udders would get a treat as he spanked them along with her broad buttocks. He decided that he would work hard to plant his seed in her womb and then keep her in milk for the rest of her life.